Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sign of Life Radio Medium Insights Hour. This is a show where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and as your host, I'm always honored and privileged to have all these wonderfully talented mediums on the show. Today, we're going to have our very gifted, talented medium, Angelina Diana. Angelina is motivated to work towards the greater good of the world and is dedicated to the work of healing through mediumship. Her grandmother was not secretive about her intuitiveness and regularly engaged the open use of tarot cards. But Angela, she didn't pay too much attention to the practices, and while working as a newscaster on assignment and exploring the legitimacy of psychic mediums, she discovered her own heritage. Fighting as she did, she was being brought down a pathway that would force her to leave her journalistic career behind and replace it with something that she had a very hard time explaining at first. Angelina has since enjoyed a very successful career in mediumship work, and she was the original medium certified by the Forever Family Foundation and sits on its medium advisory board and was instrumental in helping create this show. She's participated in scientific medium research and remains very interested in the mechanism that makes mediumship possible. She also does a lot of volunteer work for the Forever Family Foundation and many other worthy causes. She's based in Connecticut and does private and group readings. She can be heard on the radio on Connecticut's KISS 95.7 with Courtney and KISS in the morning show, and her website is www.angelinadiana.com, no spaces. So, and just to let you know, as usual, our show is sponsored by a fine levy of supporters such as the Camlock Center, Love Knows No Death, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Parisietti, and many others. So, dear listeners, again, I want to remind you that tonight's show, it's a research show, and we're doing it for informational purposes. Your questions are always welcome, but please keep in mind, Angelina, she's not going to be performing any readings tonight. So if you do have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call 1-888-627-6008. So I would like to start our discussion tonight on a topic of what we can do or say to people who are about to transition and, you know, how we can have conversations with them and their loved ones. And, you know, from the perspective of a medium, like what kind of insights we can get from the medium. So, I would also like to dedicate this show to a very close friend of the show and a very close friend of ours as well. So welcome to the show, Angelina.
Thank you for having me, Roman.
You're very welcome. It's so nice to talk to you again. Nice to be back on the air with you. Last time we spoke, it was back in December when the world was still normal. You've been good since then?
Oh, I'm doing great. I feel very blessed.
Very good. Very good. So I just, what was I going to say? So like getting into our main topic about comforting those who are about to transition, what pieces of advice can you give? Like, how do you approach these people? Like, 'cause, you know, there's always the stigma, oh, I don't want to, you know, intrude. They're going through a hard time. I don't want to impose. But I want to help out. You know, I think a lot of people feel the same way. So what's your take on that?
Well, I think the first thing to do is look at it from an inward perspective and then an outward perspective. I think at first you need to take your cue from family or the friend that's going through that, because everyone experiences the loss and grieves differently. But as someone is transitioning, everyone experiences it different. And the even the person who is transitioning, if they're aware of it or they have an understanding that they're not well, they have their own boundaries and the things that they want in that time. And I think to be a good listener is number one when you first hear the news, and
right.
how they are presenting the situation.
Right.
You know, I know, like with our common friend, it was very apparent that they wanted privacy. And that's a very hard thing to deal with when you love someone. And there might be a lot of people listening who might have a loved one now who's very ill and they might be transitioning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to force yourself or to push yourself into their situation when they might be asking for privacy, but maybe perhaps just prayers. And I think so, number one, be a good listener, because sometimes they want you by their side, clinging and hugging, and even during COVID, you know, it's a difficult thing to on top of it. But you know, you have to be a good listener. And I think number two, the next word should be, I'm here for you. Because when you say I'm here for you, they define how you're there for them. You know, so you take a few moments to say, well, I'm here for you. And then you listen again. You know, we have our needs as folks that will be grieving or saddened to hear of shocking news of someone that we love dearly who isn't well, and they might be making that journey or they are making that journey. And we have to take the cue of what they need. I think many folks feel awkward, you know, and they don't know how to be. But I really do feel that those going through it, if you pay attention and listen, they'll give you the clue of how to begin that journey and to make kind gestures through words, or I'm praying for you, or I'm thinking of you. So in the beginning, if it's a shock for you to hear about it, imagine how, for example,
somebody,
the family.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's even worse. I think there's the awkwardness, you know, and I know I often hear from a lot of clients who have already had family members or friends that have transitioned, and people who haven't been through grief will say the stupidest things, you know. It's a very awkward situation, and I think if you are in that position, you're being asked enough already, you know, to be in that position of having someone who's transitioning, but recognize too that, you know, it might be easy to take things very personal when people don't know what to say.
So I
often say to those that have been through it, I go, you have different eyes now in the world. You're a griever, and know that people haven't experienced that, and chalk it up as, you know,
life experience.
And unfortunately, someday they will be in your shoes. Unfortunately, because that's the one common bond we all need.
Yeah. You know, as a researcher of this topic about, you know, mediumship and the afterlife and spirituality for over 10 years, my first reaction is always to tell these people, like, that are, you know, emotionally suffering, it's like, don't worry about it. There is an afterlife. All will be well. But, you know, that's kind of, I found out actually the hard way that even those who are in their final days, they don't want to talk about it, you know, a lot of the times. And I found out the hard way because a close friend of mine transitioned, and before he did, you know, I told him, you know, I just wanted to blurt it out because so many opportunities presented other people passing that I, you know, I held my breath and I didn't say nothing. And this time I felt close enough to him to say something. And his response to me was, you know, Roman, I really don't want to talk. I really have a hard time talking about something like that. And that was my cue. It's like, okay, I'm sorry. You know, I meant to do well, but
I know it's a very difficult and awkward thing. And I think that there are little windows. I think if you, and sometimes time is of the essence, but I truly believe that if you go from within first and recognize that even if they are telling you that so-and-so isn't well and they're transitioning, it means that there is a connection and you meant something to them, you know? And, yep. And if you can take just a few minutes in your heart and go, well, you know, in your mind, you might know I mean something to them, but the fact that through their most difficult time, they're including you. And even right. if it means, for example, you can sense that they need distance, just saying, I'm here for you, yep. you're opening up the door. And then the next step, I believe, is, you know, you might not know somebody's religious affiliation, but you could say, you know, I'll be sending healing thoughts to your family and everyone involved, you know, mm-hmm. and at least at that point, you can energetically send things, even if you can't physically be there or they want privacy. So on an energetic basis, you're doing the best that you can for them. And I feel once you put yourself in that humbling, honoring position of praying for someone that is ill and you hope for the best that they will survive it, and if there is a hint from the family that things are turning for the worse in the physical, you then have an open opportunity in your heart to ask spirit, ask even your loved ones and say, please grant me an opportunity to be there for them in a way that will help them. You just ask spirit, because if they, you know, one thing I heard, and this might give you a perspective of what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember Fred Rogers. You know, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was of my era. He was like a second dad to me on television. Mm-hmm.
Could be my neighbor.
As I got to learn more about Fred Rogers, he was a minister as well as an accomplished music composer, and he was granted by his church to minister to children on television. And he would do something very remarkable when he would meet a young child that had a disability. He would go up to the child and he would say to the child or anyone who was ill or had a disability, he would say, please pray for me. And
wow.
you know why he said that? Because he felt someone with a disability, and especially someone who's transitioning, is closer to spirit, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
if you think about they're closer to whatever entity you might believe in, the same would be true in my humble opinion that if you are praying for someone who is transitioning, it means they're the best mediums in the world right now. They can feel you, hear you, see you, sense you, experience the wanting of them to get well better than even the living that are trying to care for them. So the next step after listening and saying, I'm here for you, the next step is recognizing, yes, it's a tragically sad thing, but there's a wonderment going on that you can actually communicate with that person better than when they were well. Because they're closer. They're closer to that. And, you know, it's
right.
hard to think about, like, our friend being there.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
as a remarkable human being. And it still gets me physically. But I can tell you something. Their ability to feel things here, and now their ability to feel things even grander,
right.
is amazing. And we have to take that next step if someone, because your question was, how do we support them? Well,
yeah.
if they don't need any physical help, the next best thing is to connect to that deep down inside part of yourself. And connect to that person who's transitioning. Close your eyes and talk to them and send them that support and that love. Yeah.
So even when they're in the physical, you can still do that, and they will receive those messages.
I mean, Are they technically in the physical anymore if they're transitioning? Sadly, you know, we can't talk to them anymore. Let's say if they're unconscious,
right,
or if they're still breathing but they're not aware that they're around, their mind is getting weaker, but their spirit is getting grander. We live conversely here, Roman, where our minds are mind-centric, and our psychic, spiritual, mediumistic self is buried deep down inside because the mind is always questioning. Well, when someone is transitioning, it's in reverse. So technically speaking, they are more mediumistic. They're more psychic. Personally, I know this person that we have in common was very intuitive.
Extremely.
And very intelligent. And intelligent. You know, so as a loved one is transitioning, you can, just like you would speak to, say, someone who has completely transitioned, you can talk to them, they can hear you, they can send you things. It's their ability to do that now is even greater. So the next step is to send them that healing and talk to them and see if you receive something back, and then ask them to send whatever support or love, as they're probably doing anyway, to those that are around them grieving and caring for them.
Mm-hmm. Right,
you know,
right.
I think that, you know, from a mediumistic viewpoint, that's kind of how I try to look at it.
That was a wonderful, amazing answer, by the way. And now that you've gone through the what to do, and wow, very, very deep stuff, and I truly appreciate what you just said, and I will personally take that into I'll take that to heart the next time anything like this ever happens to me, and our listeners, wow, what a gift. Now that you've said that, are there any don'ts that you can tell us? Like, don't do, like, you know, when you're approaching a family is having a difficult time, you know, because of the incoming transition. Are there anything that you should stay away from doing that you would recommend not doing?
Well, it's kind of, again, if you feel awkward, don't talk. You know, just say, I'll be there. Because sometimes I think we're all human and we all have awkward moments, and sometimes we could say the darndest thing. So if there's any awkwardness, just a warm smile and saying, I'm here for you, is enough. So don't talk if you feel awkward. I think the next thing would be careful to make comparisons. I think all of us are so unique, right? You know, there's no one on the planet like you or myself. There'll never be again. And I think to try to compare one's journey to another, you know, like, oh, I had a grandmother that went through that too. You know, it kind of diminishes the rawness of what someone's going through now.
I mean,
don't get me wrong, I miss my grandmother terribly. She passed so in 1985. I've had a lot of time to adjust to that. Someone, say, grandmother who's passing now has not had any time. And I think to draw similar conclusions and to water it down, I think, I think our first inclination is to do that. And I think it's kind of insensitive. You're not purposely being insensitive.
Right.
Adult would be is try not to make comparisons.
Yeah,
There might be a way to go around that. Let's say if, God forbid, someone's grandmother has Alzheimer's, let's say, and she's dealt with it for a long time and she's transitioning, one scientific way to look at it is to lovingly say, you know, I'm sorry you're going through this. Instead of saying, well, my grandmother did this and that, you can say something to the effect, well, I've heard that when they're in this stage, they're in a very peaceful place. You know, just find something that feels peaceful or kind to say. you know, my experience with my grandmother was she was very peaceful. And I'm not going to go, oh, she's in a good place. My grandmother's in a good place now. She's very peaceful. It's just switching it around and going, I understand that they're in a very...
I tell people about my grandmother because my grandmother had Alzheimer's on my father's side.
Wow.
And I kind of, I mean, it's a little insensitive, but I always take an opportunity for a joke, and I just tell people, you know what? She got to meet new people every day.
Well, there is some truth to that.
Yeah. I don't say that with cruelty. I just like try to get chuckles out of people
sometimes.
No, I understand
that. Yeah. Well, that can also kind of make folks feel a little more comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time. And I think that that's probably a case-by-case thing, isn't it? And I think that comes
absolutely.
From... Being a good listener from the very beginning of what we talked about, you can get cues from people.
If you take
a breath.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com. That's KAMLAK.com for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back, everybody. Sorry for the abrupt transition to the commercials. We had lost connection with some kind of technical difficulties, but our good producer has fixed it all up, and we're back on the air as if nothing happened. So thank you for staying with us, and welcome back, Angelina. We were discussing the don'ts of, what you would not recommend for somebody to say or do to, you know, when they're dealing with this kind of issue where somebody is on their deathbed or, you know, about the transition. And I found it very insightful about what you said in terms of, like, not comparing, not putting comparisons. That really resonated with me, even though sometimes I did that as a joke with my grandmother and stuff like that and Alzheimer's and all that. But I think what you started off saying about listening, I think that's the most important part, because that can really give you some cues on and clues on how to, you know, how to act and what to say. I think it's really important. So after the transition, what can we expect? I mean, I know personally, you know, there's a lot of grief because I've suffered a great loss when my 5-year-old son passed away. That was about 11 years ago. So is there, like, an optimal time after transition for communications to begin or for signs to start appearing in your experience?
You mean between the person that's passed and...
and a loved one. Yeah.
Well, it changed. I think it's different for everyone, but I don't think it's a restriction from spirit. I think they communicate right away. Matter of fact, I know they communicate right away.
Okay.
I think everybody is so unique and different, and they grieve so differently. It truly depends on, I think, when they're ready to receive. Their heart might want to receive, but their physical body is still either exhausted or
from grieving,
or very mind-centrically going around the woulda, shoulda, couldas so much that the physical entanglement of dealing with the loss prevents them from spiritually having the eyes to see the messages or hear the messages or feel them. So I think the living, we have the blocks. I personally don't feel spirit has a block to reach us. And that's why you'll find that, you know, one common question I get would say families that have experienced the same loss, one person might say, how come my sister has had a dream about mom, but she's not coming to me? And that tells me a lot about that sister who's had a dream. There has to be something physiologically different in that she's able to sleep more deeply and more soundly and more restfully, and she's aware of her dreams. Whereas the person that perhaps is not having the dream of mom per se is very analytically thinking things out and not in a deep enough sleep. And maybe mom is there, but they're missing the signs. But when we think of our losses, the general public generally thinks of, well, when will my non-physical loved one show me something physical? Whereas we never reverse the process and say, well, maybe I need to go into my non-physical self, i.e. meditating, praying, daydreaming, or even a deep sleep, so I can go into their world, you know. But, you know, to think that way when you're sorely missing the physical presence of someone, that's where I think a good spiritual medium can come in and introduce. You know, it's an introduction, really, I think, with an evidential.
Yeah, because I think everybody has mediumistic abilities. I know from...
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think from my own experience, you know, thoughts pop into my head. One thing that I was taught is to recognize thoughts that you weren't going, your thinking pattern wasn't heading that way, and then all of a sudden this foreign thought pops into your head.
Yeah.
That is a strong sign that it's coming from somewhere else.
That's
but,
right.
You know, yeah, and but me being, you know, I'm an open-minded skeptic. It's like, is that just wishful thinking? You know, why is this, or is it the real thing, you know?
Right.
There's always those,
well, I think
you know, and I think the more successful mediums that really learn to control that, and they learn to trust it. You know what I mean?
Well, I think we find patterns, you know, patterns of how we receive. You know, like when you, Roman, would get perhaps that one of those thoughts, maybe to step back and say, well, what was I doing that made me receive that? Was I relaxed? Was I daydreaming? Was I meditating? Was I praying? Did I just wake up? Was I just going to sleep? Try to find...
Yeah, I know exactly what I was doing. I'm playing guitar.
Yeah, how are you the most... Yeah, well, okay, music is very, very spiritual because it puts you in that zone, you know? So finding how you can be receptive to the non-physical, you know? It's not, you know, a lot of folks will say, gee, when you're in the supermarket, are you talking to dead people? And I'm like, no, I'm shopping. You know, I've got my mind on getting dinner ready. So it is a choice. Now, granted, the mind will question, I can't just choose to listen to people that are crossed over. Well, my opinion is, yes, you can. It's truly, instead of, you know, mind over matter, it's almost like the non-physical over the mind. It's honoring the strongest non-physical thing, almost of what you miss of that person. But when our mind goes there, all we think of is sadness. But if we can reverse it and say, but there was something essential about that person that nobody else has, and something essential about how I love them that nobody else has. Even within a family, a child can love their parent differently with each child. So it's truly taking a moment and saying, do I want to practice being a grieving person in the physical world and cry and kick in a wall, and then try to face people at work and then speak up for myself if a tear is going to be running down my face, which is what I tell folks to do, be an advocate for yourself. Or am I going to step into the non-physical world and tune into the deepest part of myself that might be missing that person and make a connection, have an intention to communicate with them? Now, this is deep stuff that people aren't thinking about because they need to honor their grief in the beginning. And that's why the timing can be so different for the living of when they will hear from their loved one. But I think the timing of spirit is perfect. They know exactly what you are thinking, not the thoughts like I have to go to the bathroom right now or I'm hungry, but the thoughts of I miss you, where are you? Can I go on any longer? And even the deep lessons that we're going through, they are aware of all that. And they don't get upset if they don't get our first messages. They understand the physical because they're so separated from it. They're feeling so much better than they were in the living. So that's
I think a lot of the, you know, there's a lot of blocking of these messages because of, you know, material science and, you know, how we're brought up and how we're taught in schools. We're not taught to honor that gift that we have. We're taught to basically ignore it, basically.
If it's
not there, if you can't see it, it doesn't exist. You know, that's material science, but
look at single-celled amoebas. You can't see those unless you have a microscope, and you can't hear a dog whistle. Only a dog can hear it. You know,
you can't see the air that you breathe into your lungs and out all the time, right?
That's right. And you don't even know what's in that air. So, but it's there. Exactly. So I think that's the same with spirit, that there are loved ones' ability to be the best psychics in the world and the best mediums in the world right now because they're free. They don't have the restrictions of analytical thought. They're very wise. I think there's a difference between being an intelligent and wise. Intelligence comes from the physical brain. Wisdom comes from the spirit. And they're
and
very wise.
Yeah,
right
and
now.
Also from, you know, learning from your experience. But, yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree with you on that, Angelina. Personally, you know, what I've also found is that, you know, as time goes by, this is, again, from a personal experience, as time goes by, I find that there's less and less communication. What would you say to that? I mean, is that just
that
my experience? Or?
Well, I think here's the thing. I think that when you're learning to ride a bicycle, it's difficult. And you ride that bicycle and you fall a couple of times and you try to get your balance and you get back on. And then once you've kind of mastered it, there's no challenge anymore, you kind of get used to the ride. You kind of get used to like the commonality that I'm riding a bike now. So when someone's grieving, the fumbling, getting through life, the hopefulness to hear from your loved one and then going back to work and feeling empty. And then after a while, life, it doesn't feel normal. You never stop missing them, but life kind of goes on. I mean, I hate to say it.
Yeah.
It's not never the same, ever, especially if you lost a child.
Yep.
Never the same. But you do go on. So you don't have this muscle that you've built up of communicating with them. You kind of like, well, I'm living my life now. Okay, I miss them every now and then. Gee, I wonder if they're still there. Oh, no. Okay, let me go pay my bills. Versus the challenge lies in that transitional period of, well, you know, like, for example, this one woman, I think I've told you a story before, but, you know, I was doing a reading up north and I had a lot of people, this was before COVID, of course, a lot of people in the audience. And at the end, this lovely woman comes with a 2-gallon jug of pennies. And she says, look at this. And I said, do you need a bank? And she said, no, my grandmother gave me all of these pennies. And I said, well, that's wonderful. But what do you think she's trying to tell you? And she goes, I don't know. So we rely on the magic of, oh, they sent me a penny. Oh, my God, there's a synchronistic word someone said that they told me this morning. And like we rely on the same
right.
thing, right?
Yeah, there's
Whereas,
signs as well.
Yeah. If you look at any conversation, you know, that you'd have with someone, it's not like when she had this experience with her grandmother, the grandmother's going, penny, 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 penny. She said a lot more to her granddaughter than just penny.
Right.
But the way the mind works and how entangled, how we don't want to disentangle ourselves from them because we miss them, but we have to get tangled up in our physical world, and we need to have those quick lifts. Once we get used to riding the bike of life, so to speak, every now and then we just need, oh, just send me a penny, I'll feel better. Or just play that song on the radio. Isn't that magical? You know, versus let's really form, you know, like I know the Forever Family Foundation has a sign registry, or, you know, how about a conversation registry? Like, what do you want to talk about today? What's going on today in heaven? What's going on in my life? What am I going to see today? Or what do you think about my sister doing this, this, and this, Mom? You know, and then you sit quietly. What are you seeing, hearing, and feeling? You know, I hate to say that it sounds simplistic, but in many ways, if you can boil it down to, I'm not going to see you again until I see you again, until it's my turn to transition, but until then, let's have time we meet every morning. Until then, let's form a conversation, not just here's a sign. So I think to answer your question, it seems to go away because we haven't created that mediumistic muscle. We relied on things to help us through that little bump of grief, which we need. I'm not saying signs are bad. Matter of fact, I think in the beginning, signs are almost like when you start to teach a child gaga goo goo. You know, they're learning to speak. Well, you're starting to learn to understand. So this is how you're going to start communicating with me? But then there's a language that you can build through the years until you see them again. Does it take work? Oh, yes, it does. Can life take us away from that work? Absolutely. Well, conversely, just like being a medium, it can take me away from the physical world because I spend so much time with the non-physical. So
in the last part of the show, I would like to, we're going to go to a break very soon. But after the break, I would love to talk about what we can do to enhance that conversation with people that have transitioned. I think that I'm sure you have some amazing advice to share with our listeners. So with that, stay tuned. We're going to just go to commercial break from our fine sponsors, and we will be back in a few minutes. Thank you.
The Camlac Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlac Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perissetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941. 3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name is Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to Signs of Life. We're here with Angelina Diana, and we have a caller. Her name is Melissa on line two. So welcome to the show, Melissa.
Hi. Welcome. Yes. Okay. Well, this is wonderful. This show is so pertinent, and especially in my world, basically all of my family members have crossed over, and even my son. So I've been out of that, and one thing is like being with them as they transition, and also my question is, believing in the afterlife, I really would like to know, the most important thing or things that I can do to stay connected, to be in a place where I want to be is not stuck in the loss of them not being in the physical, but I want to be in a place of interaction to continue the interaction. And yet I one of my questions is, I found myself with my son that anytime I would begin to feel his presence, I would get so overwhelmed emotionally that I felt like I was pushing him away, or I was, breaking that connection somehow. And, it's kind of put me in a place of feeling, well, like I want to do this. And then I, criticize myself that I can't be calm and focused to have that connection that I so desire.
Well, that makes perfect sense, because you're grieving and you had one of the most worst losses anybody could experience, which is that of a child. So first, I think whenever you start talking about it and you get in a state of confusion, it means that you've already, number one, have included your thoughts in it, your critical thinking mind. And grief lives in our physiological body. It has to live there because we can't physiologically and physically touch that person anymore. So we never push spirit away, ever. I really get my liver in a quiver when I hear other mediums or purported mediums say things like, oh, don't talk to them, you're bothering them, you're holding them back, or they're stuck here. That's BS, in my opinion. Excuse the vernacular, but it is, because there's nothing stronger than the love that you have for your son, Melissa. And that love never dies, period. So the essence of who you are as a mother and the essence of who your son is as your baby is always there. No matter if when he was physically here, if he was in California and you were in Connecticut, you still loved him. You didn't stop loving him. That invisible love, that tie, never, ever, ever dies. So when you are feeling him deep down inside with that quiet, still voice and that quiet nature of feeling him, it isn't that he all of a sudden appeared. He's always with you. It's you've met up with him spiritually. So you're connected to him at that moment. The second you go, oh, I'm getting emotional, that's just your mind, which is still very powerful because guess what? You're still alive. And since you are still meant to be here, let's hope that that mind is still present. And that when you have an emotional moment, that's just your grief kind of eking in a little bit. And then when you start questioning and you get critical, that's even more proof it's your mind and not him. So my suggestion is to have that awareness of, oh, that's you, I feel you. And then your mind starts questioning. You go, well, you know what? I'm going to question. It's part of being still alive, son, but I'm going to try to push those thoughts aside so I can continue to feel you, because you're starting to communicate with him when you have that awareness of he's here. He's always there, but you're aware of it. So it's always recognizing that there will always be grief, especially for a parent who's lost a child. It's unfortunate that mediumship can't just cure that, because it cannot. Medium cannot cure grief. It can give you hope. It can teach you, hopefully, the difference between this is a grieving reaction or this is a mediumistic reaction, or you're connecting to your son in this case. So first, acknowledge there's always going to be a moment where while I'm connecting to him, my emotions are going to take over. But that doesn't mean it's a rejection or it's not a connection. The mind is different than the spirit connecting. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And it makes so much sense, and the clarity that you've given me, and not only that, the peace. And there were so many moments when you spoke that I just broke down and I'm crying, but you say something else and then that awareness brings me into a place of peace.
Because it's this
understanding, the way that I just want to thank you, because the way you shared this was so loving and compassionate and supportive and informative, and it just was nice. I'm so grateful. I just want to thank you so much. And
You're welcome.
Listen, here's the deal. The only way that I can learn any of this or understand it is because of folks like you who honor mediums to give us the opportunity to work with spirit. So it's not about me. If you feel anything right now, you're feeling your son and you're feeling your ability to connect to him. So recognize that any medium who sits up and says, look what I can do for you, walk out the other way, because the magic and the connection happens because of your love for your son and your son's love for you, period. That's it. And if you simplify it and you understand that love is greater than anything else, it's going to help you navigate through and around and sometimes above and over and kicking grief in its butt because that love is stronger. But it's going to take time, but you'll do it.
Great. Melissa, thank you very much for your call. Thank you so much, and I hope this, I know this will bring you some peace.
I'm very, very grateful.
Okay, good night, Melissa. Thank you.
And
we have only a few minutes left, so I just wanted to, first of all, say, Angeline, you have a way with words, first of all. It's been amazing. It's been very enlightening, and we really appreciate it. And I know that You practice in Connecticut and everything. Let's do some little plug for you before we have to end the show. During this times of COVID and everything, has your practice changed because of it?
It has, but I'm starting to make some modifications. I am doing Zoom, Facebook, and FaceTime and Skype readings. I do have an office in Windsor, Connecticut. I do travel to Long Island, Brookline, Massachusetts, Naples, Florida. I do also group readings now, but I do have COVID guidelines that we would have to follow if I do travel to you.
I also do
live Facebook readings, too, at facebook.com/AngelinaDiana. And I have a website, AngelinaDiana.com.
Wonderful. So, Angelina, again, it was a pleasure talking to you, as always.
Thank you for me. Thank you.
I know that we'll talk again, and thank you so much for being part of this show and for being instrumental, even bringing this whole show to life. You know, you're a big part of it, and I'm sure a lot of people appreciate that.
Well, it's all spirits doing, so we have to give them credit, and thank you for the
opportunity. We'll give them credit, absolutely. So I like to end the show with by quoting Bob and Fran Ginsberg, that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and that science one day is going to prove it. So with that, we bid everybody good night, and thank you for tuning in, and I will talk to – I'll be back in 1 month from now. And I'm sure you'll probably be back before that, Angelina. But thank you again, and good night, everybody.